That's a good question. 2 weeks from tonight is Lag BaOmer. So do you think anybody has weddings?
Yom HaTzmaut tomorrow.
Today?
Yeah, well, tonight, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Should ask. And another 2 weeks from tonight is going to be Lag BaOmer. Does anybody have weddings then? Should we postpone the shiur till Wednesday? No weddings?
No.
Okay, good. I have a wedding, but if I'm the only one, so I won't go to the wedding. Okay, we are Lamed Beis Amar Aleph. We started a new Perek. We started a new Mesichta. Okay. We started the Mishnah Lamed Beis Amar Aleph. The Mishnah is discussing different mitzvahs of Amire, Kriya Shema, and Davening, and Kiddush, and Abdullah. Which mitzvahs of Amira have to be fulfilled dafke in the original Hebrew, and which can be fulfilled in translation. So last week we learned the first few lines in the Mishnah, the various mitzvahs that can be fulfilled in translation. And then starting from the fourth line, the Mishnah says, Ve'elu, and the following mitzvahs, Namarim b'loshon ha-kodesh, the following mitzvahs of Dibur of Amira have to be fulfilled dafke in the original Hebrew. So one is Mikra Bikurim, thank you very much. The farmers have their two mitzvahs, two parts to the mitzvah. The farmers have to bring Bikurim from the Shivas Aminim, Shenishtapcha Behem Eretz Yisrael, and when they bring it to the Beis HaMikdosh, they have to recite Arami Ovidavi, and then they give it to the Kohen. So the Arami Ovidavi has to be recited in the original Hebrew. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah in translation. Chalitza, we know what the din is. If a couple is married and the husband dies, and it leaves no descendants, he has no children, no grandchildren, has no descendants, whether from this wife or from any other wife. If he has any children, even from a different wife, so there's no din of chalitza. If he has any children, there's no din of chalitza. If he has no children, so then if he leaves a brother, or two, whatever, then Yavam is not permitted to remarry unless she has chalitza. So what does chalitza consist of? So the Pesukim and Chumash point out there are three parts to the chalitza. The most important part is chalitza sasandal, that she has to take off the shoe from his right foot. That's why it's called chalitza. That's the main part. And then she has to do rikika, to spit on the floor in front of him. And then you have to do kriyas apsukim. She should say, mein yivami l'hokim shem li'ochiv lo yov yadmi. The pasuk says, my brother-in-law does want to do yibam. And he says, l'chafatz l'kachta. And after the whole chalitza is over, she says, kachi yasali, shashil li'yibn is beisachim. So you need the kriyas apsukim. So there's a machleka satanayim, how much of chalitza is ma'akev. So we paskin, only the chalitza sasandal is me'akev. The kriyas apsukim is not me'akev, and the rikik is also not me'akev. There's one Tana holds that everything is me'akev. The kriyas apsukim, but the chalitza with the rikik, and then there's one Tana who has a compromise shita. He says, kochi yosalish, kol davashu humaisa me'akev. The rikik, the spitting with the chalitza sasandal, those two are me'akev. If she didn't do the rikik, she's not muteris lehinasir vashut. But if she didn't do the kriyas apsukim, or the yovam didn't say lechavatzi lekachta, so the kriyas apsukim is not miyakev. So we paskin halacha, the rikika with the kriyas apsukim, neither are miyakev. It's just in order to fulfill a mitzvah b'shleimusa, you have to have all three parts, the chalitza hasandal with the rikika, with the kriyas apsukim. To fulfill a mitzvah properly, so you have to recite the psukim dafke in Hebrew. If you say in translation, so you're not yotze the chavchila, you're not yotze the mitzvah bishlei musa.
What's the difference? We don't say it all together.
Okay, but if he says it in English, so we tell him he got to say it again in Hebrew.
Yeah, but if he doesn't say it all together, it's good.
B'di'evet it's good. But lachatchila, you're not yotze the mitzvah bishlei musa. If you yotze a mitzvah shelo bishlei musa, you get less levyasin. You get less schar in olam haba. You want to perform the mitzvah bishlei musa. There are a lot of dinim like that.
Mikra Bikurim is also mikra
bikurim.
It's an equal.
Also, there's a machlekes hatanaim. We pass in the kriyas haparsha is not miyakev. If you didn't recite Arami Avidavi, you yotze the mitzvah of havoas habikurim even without the kriyas habikurim. The din is if the farmer wasn't yotze the mitzvah of havoas habikurim, then the kohen is not allowed to eat the bikurim. So there's a shaila in the Gemara where the kriyas haparsha Arami Avidavi is ma'akev or not. So I think we pass in the mikra bikurim is not miyakev. You yotze the mitzvah of havoas bikurim even without the kriyas haparsha. So the same over here, b'di'eved, Let's say you bring a korban chatos to the Beis Hamikdash. So korban chatos says in Chumash you have to do zrikas inside each one of the four corners on the mizbeach. What if Bidiyeva Dikoin only did a zrika on one corner? So that's a machlekes hatanoim in a mishnah in Zvachim Perek Beishamai. The Perek begins with the word Beishamai Yomrim. So Beishamai say that you're not yotze even Bidiyeva if you only did one zrika. And Beisilul say that as long as he did one zrika, so Bidiyeva it's good enough. That's on Yom Kippur when you do Avodah Lifnai Lifnim, each and every matan is mak. Matanachas means kolachas, kol matana bifneyatza, every single matana is mag. That's on karbanas that are brought lifnai b'lifnim, so each and every single matana is mag. But if you have a chatas chitzayna that's not brought lifnim, there's no zrika in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and there's no zrika in the Echol, then only one zrika is ma'akib. So what do you need all the four zrikas for? The answer is, if you don't do all the four zrikas, you'll be in violation of Baltigra. You did a mitzvah with the Eved. When you had a brayer, you could have done it l'chatchila. So why did you only do one zrika? You're supposed to do four zrikas. So you're not mekayim the mitzvah b'shleimusa of the zrikas, and you're over on Baltigra. That's the example that the Mishnah gives. What's an example of Baltigra? So the Rashba and Rosh Hashanah writes, what's Baltigra? Let's say tefillin, you have to have four parshias. Kadesh v'yakeviyach shema v'hoyayim shema. So let's say the person only has three. Kadesh v'yakeviyach shema. He doesn't have v'hoyayim shema. So the Rashba says, that's Baltigra. That's not Baltigra, he's not Yetzir Etfil, Gornish Gittar. Let's say the talus has to have, the talus has four corners, you have to have tzitzis on all four corners. So we paskin, there's a machlekes satanoim, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamas, we paskin all the dalet tzitzis on makfim zezeh. Rabbi Shmuel holds if you have on two corners, so you Yetzir partially, Yetzir the mitzvah partially. We paskin, there's no partial credit here. If you don't have tzitzis on all four corners, there's no mitzvah at all. So the Rashba writes in Rosh Hashanah, and if you'll only have tzitzis on three corners out of the four, does he say Baltigra? He says, no, you didn't get the first base. You didn't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. That's not Baltigra. Baltigra is if you were Megareya and Bidiyevid, you were Yaitzah the mitzvah, but you didn't do the mitzvah Bishlei Musa. So the example that the Mishnah gives of Baltigra is this example. You have a chatos, which requires Dalad Zrikas and Dalad Karnas on Mizbeach, and he only did three zrikas. Well, let's see over here. This would probably also be Baltigra. Baltigra doesn't necessarily have to be with numbers. The Mishnah Brewer writes this. Let's say you have tzitzis. He's supposed to put tcheles and lavan. If tcheles is not available, nish. What can you do? So you're not over on Baltigra. But if tcheles is available, and you don't bother to do the mitzvah bishlei musa, you only put lavan on the four corners, and you don't put tcheles on, so you're only mekayim the mitzvah. So we paskin is not miyakev. One tana is of the opinion that tcheles is miyakevus. You're just not yotze the mitzvah. So bizman hazeh there's no mitzvah. May as well not wear any tzitzis if you don't have tcheles. But we paskin that tcheles is not likuva. So let's say you have tcheles available, and you didn't bother to put the tcheles in. So the Mishnah Brewer writes, that would be an example of Baltigra, that you fulfill the mitzvah lachatchila in a fashion that you only yotze b'dieved. So that's what it means, Baltigra. Baltosif, if you have the four parshas plus, I put in my bar mitzvah parsha in addition. So that's an example of Baltosif. So the Gemara says, if you have five parshas in the tefillin, does it mean you're yotze the mitzvah of tefillin and you have an avera baltosif on the side in addition? Or does it mean that you're not even yotze kol ha-mosif gareya, you're not even yotze the mitzvah? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadik that sometimes it's ma'akev, sometimes I say kol ha-mosif gareya, you're not even yotze anything, and sometimes you'll be yotze the mitzvah and you'll be in violation of Baltigra at the same time. So it's not parallel. The Gemara says it depends. Whether the hoysofa is mitzurif with the ikem mitzvah, then I say kol ha-mosif gareya. And if it's not mitzurif with the ikem mitzvah, then I say asvar aloshen ha'iluchu dekoy v'ha'iluchu dekoy. When we learned the last parak in Erevin, we discussed it a little bit. There's a Tosis there discusses it. That sometimes if you're mosif, you're not even yotzei the mitzvah at all. And sometimes you are yotzei the mitzvah, but in addition to being yotzei the mitzvah, you have an avera baltigra. So the way this Rashba pointed out, it comes out that Baltosif and Baltigra are not parallel. Baltigra, you're only in violation if you're yotze the mitzvah b'dieved, but you did it b'giraon. And Baltosif, you violate even if you're not yotze anything. You did everything you were supposed to do min haTorah, plus more. You did too much, more than you were supposed to do. And that causes that you're not yetzei anything, and that's still Baal Tosef. But Baal Tigra, the Rashba says, is only if you're megareh in such a fashion that you yetzei the mitzvah b'dieved. Otherwise, you weren't megareh. I just didn't do the mitzvah. Pardon me, that what?
What's the order?
The rikika is all the way at the end, after the chalitza is a sandal.
So if you've already fulfilled the mitzvah b'di'evet, how can you then?
Well, chalitza is always like that. Once you finished, once you take off the shoe, so if you stop there, so you yaitze. But they don't stop there. The Chumash says he's supposed to continue. She's supposed to spit on the floor in his presence, and then she's supposed to say, Kacha
Yasalish. So it's not a raya that after fulfilling the mitzvah with the other, you can then be behind the mitzvah.
I don't think so. No, Rav Chaim is talking about the following case. Yes. A person shook a lulav in an esrog, and the esrog was an ugly looking esrog. Based on the rules and regulations, it's kosher, but it wasn't a mehuda dik esrog. Then he wants to shake lulav and esrog all over again to repeat the same thing that he did before. Rav Chaim says, how can you say that he gains now an added hidur of hidur mitzvah? He was ready out to the mitzvah, but the yevid, it's not going to help if you're going to repeat. No, but over here, you didn't finish the mitzvah yet. This is the way the Torah prescribes the mitzvah. Chalitza is not only a matir. If she doesn't do chalitza, she's asura, the hinasi lashuk. If it would have only been a matir, Tosis writes, if it would only be a matir, it wouldn't make sense to have a lachatchilim b'di yevid. If the chalitza is matir b'di yevid, without the rikik and without the kriyas ha-psukim, says matal lachatchila also. The fact that you have a lachatchila deraisa is a dead giveaway that in addition to being a matter, it's also a mitzvah. Tosafot writes, it doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila b'di'evet deraisa in the area of a matter. Let's say a get. You have mishnayis and gittin. Lachatchila should have written a get like this, but b'di'evet it's good even though you didn't do like that. So Tosafot says there can be deraisa. Lachatchila b'di'evet on a get, it's only mid-rabbanon. You shouldn't cook in a treifa pot, even if it hasn't been used for treifas in the last 24 hours. But if you did cook kosher food, so it doesn't make treifa. So lachatchila is clearly only with the rabbanon. How can you have a lachatchila and a b'di'evid in a din of isavehete? Either it's osur or it's mutter. The answer is it's mutter. Minatur it's mutter. And with the rabbanon they introduce the chumr. But in mitzvahs, Tosafot says many times you have lachatchila b'di'evid. You have a mitzvah b'shleimus as if you do it like this, and if you're missing parts of the mitzvah, so sometimes if it's only missing a little bit, sometimes you yotz in the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus, and if missing too much, then you're not even yotz in the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. So here we pass by chalitza, the kriyas ha-psukim is not miyakev, and the rikika is not miyakev either. The Gemara says that's Baal Tosef.
So
yeah.
I lost the whole
it's questionable. The Ramos says that problem that the Gemara talks about, Hayoshim Shmini Basukim, one who sits in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres and Eretz Yisrael, will be in violation of Baal Tosef. So he said that's only if you sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, that it's immediately following the 7 days of Yeshiva Basukah. But if the guy sits in Sukkah on Chalamoid Pesach, it's not contiguous to the days of Sukkot. Yeah. Probably not. The Pashtus is that not.
What's the happening to lose the first 7 days?
Because the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin that sometimes when you're Moisif, I say, Kol HaMoisif Goreya, you're not even Yotze the Mitzvah. And sometimes they say, no, you're Yotze the Mitzvah and you're in violation of Baal Tosef at the same time. So when do you say Kol HaMoisif Goreya? If the Hoysof is Mitzuruf to the Mitzvah. If the Hoysof is Hailuchu Dikoy V'Hailuchu Dikoy, it's separate. Let's say I take a Lulav and Esrog, Arovis and Hadassim. Then I take a couple of roses and a couple of lilacs and a couple of other things, and I shake everything together. But they're not tied up together. So then the Gemara says it's a violation of Baal Tosef, but you can't say Kol HaMoisif Goreya, Hailuchu Dikoy V'Hailuchu Dikoy. The Hoysof stands alone.
With respect to eating the soup, each day is a different unit.
I
don't see why
we
wipe out the 7 days.
I understand why he's bringing up an issue, because the Ramah distinguishes. If you sit in Sukkah on Chol HaMoed Pesach, that's not Nishken Baal Tosef. But if you sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, that's immediately following the 7 days, that's Mitzuref with the 7 days. So then the Ramah says, that's when the Gemara talks about a prophecy. He's saying, if it's only Baal Taisif, if it's Mitzurif with the 7 days, so you shouldn't say Ha'ilichu Dikoy. That shows that it is Mitzurif. But it's probably still not Mitzurif. No, the Chachamim want Mechaivas. We live in Chutz Lords. That's no Shaila. The Chachamim want Mechaivas to sit in the What started this Asr? Right. So it's because Shmin Atzeres is a Sveka Diyoma. We have to, the Chacham or Misakin, we have to act as if it's a Sveka Diyoma. So Misafik, you go to Chumah in both directions. Maybe it's the Hoshana Rabbah today, so I have to sit in Sukkah. Maybe it's Shmin Atzeres, I have to abstain from Malacha. I have to dive in a different Shmoneh Esrei.
What about five of the corners on a beggar?
A beggar that has five corners, so you only have to put tzitzis on four out of the five corners. And if you put a tzitz on the fifth corner, that'll be a violation of Baal Tosef. I don't think you'll say in such a case that Kol HaMosiv Gareya, because the tzitz on the fifth corner is not really attached to the other four corners. It's on the same garment, but the Rambam quotes Gemaris that if you tie two tzitz on the same corner, then you're not yaitze, then it passes the mitzvah. Then you say Kol HaMosiv Gareya, because it's mechubet to the same corner. But if the fifth sits is on a different corner, I think the Rambam would agree that there. Yeah. Let's say you have a beged with five corners. So the Gemara has a machlekes if it's chayiv and sits. So we pass when it's chayiv, but only the four corners out of the five, the four furthest corners out of the five, you put sits on. But if you put on the fifth corner, then it'll be a violation of Baal Tosef. So here the Gemara says that the chalitza, the psukim that are recited by chalitza, have to be recited in Hebrew. The Gemara in Yevamos has a din. The kriyas ha-psukim is not miyakev. Let's say they didn't recite any psukim at all. So, b'diyeved the yotze the mitzvah of chalitza shalav b'shnei musa, and the woman is permitted to remarry. What happens? But you have to have the ability. The Gemara said, what happens if the Yavam or the Yavama or both are mute, the Ilem v'Ilemes, and the Eina Yochel Adabah, they simply can't speak? So then the Gemara says they can't do Chalitza. Even though the Kriya Sapsukim is not Miyakeves, that's only called a Roy Lekriya. If you're Roy for Kriya Sapsukim, then it's not Miyakev. But if you're not Roy Lekriya Sapsukim, then the whole Chalitza is puzzle. The Gemara gives a Tushtel. Gemara has a din mincha belula b'shemen. It says so many times in the Chumash when you bring a mincha, so you have to do matan shemen. You have to pour in oil, and then you have to stir it. Mincha belula b'shemen. You stir it together. So the Mishnah says in Menachos that belila is not miyakeh. If you did matan shemen, you poured in the oil, but you didn't stir it, so the korban is kosher. The mincha is kosher anyway. And then that's in the second parak of Menachos. Then in the end of Menachos, the Mishnah has a din that, let's say a person donates a mincha, that's the going units of Esrayim. So he donates one Esrayim, two Esrayim, 30 Esrayim, 40 Esrayim, 50, 60 Esrayim. If he wants to donate 61 Esrayim, so you don't bring it in one kli. You have to bring 60 in one kli, and one Esrayim in a separate kli. Why? So the Gemara says, because if you're going to do blili, you're going to stir it, it's too much to be contained in one kli, and it's going to spill. Part of the flour, part of the solus is going to fall out from the kli. So the Gemara Frek Takashe, but he said he wants to bring a mincha of Samach Aleph Esrayim 61. So bring all of the 61 and don't stir. The din is the b'di'evet of Lod Balal is kosher. Here if you can't do b'lilo, hot penish kembrera. So why do you tell him that it's better to bring 60 in one kli and one in another kli? Bring 61 in one kli. He's the korban gadol in the skavin. He wants to bring a very big mincha. Bring the mincha of 61 Esrayim in one kli and don't do the b'lilo. Gemara says, no, in this case, Amar Rab Zeira, that's what Rab Zeira says. If you have 60 or less in one kli, 60 Esrayim or less, so theoretically it is possible to do blila, to stir. So even though you didn't do the blila, call a roila blila, so ain blila mi'akev is bo. But 61 is too much, it's not even roila blila, so that's considered missing too much. If it's not roila blila, that's missing too much. So then the blila is mi'akev, then the fact that you didn't do blila is considered too incomplete a mitzvah, and you're just not yetzi anything. So the Gemara says the same over here by chalitza. If you'll perform chalitza, and the Yavam or the Yavama both will not recite their psukim, so b'di'evet will say, you're yetzi. the chalitza is not miyakev.
But
what if they cannot? They cannot talk at all. They're ilay vilemes. So then the Gemara says the whole chalitza is no good. So here it says in Shulchan Aruch, the chalitza psukim have to be recited in the original Hebrew. So let's say you have a person, an American person, does not know how to pronounce aches. So she has to say, he has to say, loy chafatzti lakachta. Has to say aches. What if he can't pronounce aches? He always says a hey. So toiknish. So he's not, even though he can read, he can pronounce. But it's
kind of like that.
Okay. Right?
He could pronounce it.
So he wouldn't be able to do chalitza. Okay. You wouldn't be able to do chalitza. You have to be able to pronounce Hebrew. So even if you don't pronounce, as long if you break your teeth, you'll be able to pronounce it. But let's say Bishumayfim, they just can't pronounce a ches. So if not, then it's like a Eidim Ve'ilemes, that the chalitza won't be any good. So you have to.
Yidim can do
chalitza. Yidim Gemara says cannot do chalitza. That's what he says. One who cannot talk cannot do chalitza, even though the Kriyas HaPsukim is not miakeves. But if you're unable to do the Kriyas HaPsukim, then the Gemara says it is miakeves, and the Kriyas HaPsukim has to be Beloshna Kodesh. So if you're unable to, even if you try, that's why the Rabbanim, when you have a chalitza, so you have to practice with the Yavam and the Yavama to make sure that they know how to pronounce the Hebrew. Then even if later on the Maisa they don't pronounce it, so b'diavad it's good, as long as it's Roy L'Kriyas HaPsukim. But sometimes you practice, they just can't even pronounce a ches. So if they can't even, even if they try hard, they can't do it. It's a teignish. So the whole chalitza teignish.
En and hen.
It's a mispronunciation, yeah?
Yeah.
That's a shaila. Which havara? The Galatiana have one pronunciation in the Litvisha, have a different pronunciation in the Yekas, have a different pronunciation. Let's say the Mishnah says duchening. Duchening, Birchas Karnim has to be Dafkin in the original Hebrew. If the Kohen's going to duchening, translation is not yet to the mitzvah. When he says the bracha, Shekhdashani b'kdashas shalaran, it's a bracha lavatola. Because you've only yotze duchening in the original Hebrew. So the shaila is, you have, let's say, 10 kohanim duchening. So one is a galatzian, and he pronounces the way his family tradition is. The other one is a yekid, the other one is a litvisha. Each one has a different, the other one is from Britain. So he has a different accent. Everyone has a different accent. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik is. So in Manam Shach, somebody is mispronouncing Hebrew. Someone's not pronouncing it properly. So how can you have all 10 kohanim say the bracha and the duchening? Someone's saying a bracha levatala. So he said, apparently we assume that any havara that's used by a big group of Jews is considered Lashna Kodesh. All the havaras are considered Lashna Kodesh. Right? Right? So we assume that all the dialects are acceptable. Okay. Everyone has a different pronunciation. See, this Rav Soloveitchik, he didn't want to say it, but he was in disagreement with his father. His father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, had the practice that when he would daven Shachris and Marib every day, he would say Kriyashma with his Litvish pronunciation. Then after the davening, he would repeat Kriyashma a few times in Galatian Havara, in a Yekisha Havara, in different Havaras, because L'chatchila, he felt you have to say Kriyashma in the original Hebrew. So which is the original Hebrew? So they're different Havaras. So he thought, if it's not the right Havara, then it's called translation. So he didn't want to be Yotzeh with Kriyashma in translation. So maybe his Litvisha Havara is not correct, so it's only a translation. So Rav Soloveitchik never did that. He upgedavened and that's all. He didn't bother to say Kriyashma extra time. So he didn't say what his father did, and he disagreed with him. He just said, you see, from the fact that duchening has to be in Loshna Kodesh, and you have 10 Kohanim and each one duchens in a different Havara, and we assume that everybody's Yotze, so we assume that all the Havaras are acceptable. Huh? All the Havaras are acceptable. I think we usually assume that those who are not careful to distinguish between an aleph and an ayin and so on, we assume that that's not correct. We usually assume that there are no two letters in the Hebrew alphabet that are pronounced the same. So we assume there is supposed to be a difference between the aleph and the ayin and so on. So we assume that theirs is more correct. The Gemara says, yeah, it's supposed to be different.
So,
in theory,
the Ashkenazic way has more
chilukim
than the Sephardic way in certain respects.
I mean, the modern Havaras Svardit and the Israeli
Havaras Svardit. Everything is a common. All Kamats and Patach sound alike, and all the Tavis and the Sav sound alike.
Yeah, I think the real Svardim don't pronounce the Kamats. Everything is different. Everything is different, yeah. That's why they write in the history books that there was some, I think a Taimani came from to visit Rabbi in Frankfurt, and Rabbi Nos Nadler, the Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer, heard the way he was pronouncing Hebrew, and he was convinced that that's the correct Havara, because every single letter had a different, the Sof and the Samach had a different pronunciation, and the Kof and the Kuf had a different pronunciation, and everything had a different pronunciation. So he decided that's it, that's a Chazga learned from that Taimani how to pronounce Hebrew. And this was in Frankfurt, so they kicked them out of Frankfurt. That's why they kicked them out of Frankfurt.
Who was that?
Nos Nadler, the Rebbe of the Sam Sefer. There's a little Mishanadim and Hogim. Yeah. So the Mishnah is listing off all the mitzvahs of Amira, of Kriya, that have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. So the Mishnah says, Mikra Bikurim, the farmer has to say Arami Ravi Yavi in the original Hebrew. Chalitza, the Yavam with the Yavama have to pronounce in the original Hebrew. The whole Kriya Sapsukim is not Miyakev, but still, if Kozman, they're there, so we should have them pronounce. I remember once it happened, this Shaila happened, I wasn't there, but the Rav who had the Shaila told me about it. He had, like the Rabbanim who are Masada Gittin, used the Kavanoki. Kavanoki is a sefer on Hilchas Gittin. He goes step by step, page by page, how to do a Seder Agit. So they have such a sefer. I don't think it's the Kavanoki. Some other sefer, a Seder Chalitza. So this Rav had an old copy that was falling apart, and all the pages were in order. By accident, he dropped it on the floor before the Chalitza. When he put back the pages, he put it back out of order. So he had the Yavama. The Yavama says in the beginning she's supposed to say, Mayan Yavami Lahokan Lyachiv Shame Yisrael Lo Yava Yavmi. The Yavama is supposed to say, Lochavatsi Lakach. Then after the whole Chalitza is all over, then she's supposed to say, Kachi Yasalish, Shali Yavnes Beisachiv. So by mistake, the Rav told me the story. He was an older Rav, passed away already. So he said when he picked up all the pages, they all fell apart. So he put it back out of order. So he had, by mistake, he had the Yavama say Kachi Yasalish in the beginning, and then she said the other pasuk Mayan Yavama Lachem Loyava Yabmi. She said that at the end. So the Shailu, and then Bishas Maisa, after they finished all Chalitza, then he realized that they said it out of order. So what's the din? So the din is the psukim are not miyake, but we're still there. So don't say b'diavad. It's still a chatchila. Maybe you should do it over. So the Shailu is the Gemara says the Seder. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that the Seder of the Chalitza is not Miyakev. Let's say you'll do the Rikike before you do the Chalitza. You're supposed to first do the Chalitza, take off the shoe from the right foot, and afterwards you spit. What if she did the Rikike before the Chalitza? So b'di'evit, it's good the way it is, and you don't even have to do l'chatchila to repeat the Rikike. It's good the way it is. So if the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's the beginning of Arba Mises, I think. The first daf in Perek Arba Mises in Sanhedrin. So the Gemara says the Seder Avodas Yom Kippurim is Miyake. But the Seder by Chalitza, the Gemara says, not Miyake. So this Rav thought that just like the Seder of the Rikike with the Chalitza is not Miyake, the Seder of the Psukim is also not Miyake. So Lamaisa, they said all the Psukim, they did the Rikike, they did the Chalitza, they did everything, they just said the Psukim out of order. I would have said that also.
But the Avnei Nezer has it. Wouldn't say that.
But the Avnei Nezer has, I don't know, I would have said that. So the Avnei Nezer has that tshuva where he writes, no. He says, like, you have a book. So you have a prologue and you have an epilogue. You have a hakdomeh and then you have a conclusion. So he says, by the Seder Chalitza, Me'en Yivami Lahakim 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 Lahakim, that's the introduction. Kochi Yasalish, that's the conclusion. So he says, what do you mean the Seder is not Me'akev? This is supposed to be an introduction. This is supposed to be a conclusion. If you did it out of order, you have to do it over again.
Like a pidgin ben problem. If the father said, if the parent said something first, then you can't do it out of order because it's a set pattern. You make the brach and then you say to make the recitations.
That's minhagim. I don't know. Let's say once the father gave the money, to the Kohen, a fartik. So I don't think you have to do everything all over again. He's ready yotze the mitzvah. Once, that's what he says. Yotze the mitzvah ready b'di'eved, so you don't gain anything by doing it over again. But over here...
By condition,
that if
you say you don't have the
Sheva Brachas
in order.
Yeah, that says in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuva Saraman, that the Sheva Brachas, the Seder is not Miyakev. If he said out of order, so you say the Bracha that you missed, the Seder is not Miyakev. Yeah. So here the Shaila is by the Chalitza, the Gemara said the Seder is not Miyakev. So if he did the Rikike before the Chalitza, he wouldn't even require Lachatchila that she should repeat the Rikike later on. She already did the Rikika. But the Shal is over here. They already did the Chalitza. But they said the wrong Pasuk in the beginning, the wrong Pasuk at the end. So what is there to fix up? So to do the whole Chalitza over again, that, I don't know, I don't think that makes sense. She already did the Chalitza, but okay, she should repeat the Pasuk that you're supposed to say at the end. She said Kochi Yosalish at the beginning. So the Avnei Neser says he's not Yotze. That Pasuk is supposed to be the conclusion. And at the conclusion she said the Pasuk, Mayan Yivam Ilhokil. It's a Maisa Shahoya. A funny story, Maisa Shahoya. And it's humorous that the Avnei Neser has a tshuva on it. The Avnei Neser has such a shtickle Torah. He didn't come up Aloch Alamais. He just has a shtickle Torah on the Gemara. And he shows that the Rishon, he was Medaik in the Rishonim, that only out of order is good b'di'evet if the Rikika preceded the Chalitza. But if you said the Psukim out of order, you wouldn't say Yoytze with the Kocha Yosalish that you said at the beginning. So she has to repeat again Kocha Yosalish at the end. But the Mayan Yevami does a farfal. She already did the Chalitza. So it does make sense to say Mayan Yevami again and then Lachafatzi Lakachta again and then to do the Chalitza again. That's a shame b'di'evet. But to repeat Kocha Yosalish, that makes sense. That she should repeat it, yeah. This Rav didn't think of that. He knew the din is that the Seder is not Miyakev. So he thought, nothing is Miyakev. Seder is not Miyakev. But it's good the way it was. The whole Kriya Sapsukim is not Miyakev. So the Seder is certainly not Miyakev. But the Avnei Neser thinks that L'chatchila, they should have repeated after everything was all over. And the Rav realized that they said the Psukim out of order. So he should have repeated the Kocha Yosalish at the end. The fact that she said it at the beginning, she's not Yetzer B'di'evet for that. So that's what the Mishnah lists off, the various mitzvahs of Kriya that have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. Brachas to Klolas. That was once in the history of the world. It's a good kasha, my dehavi havi. Yeah, the halacha never discusses things that are not relevant halacha lamaisa. My dehavi havi, what, that's ancient history, whatever it was. So the answer perhaps is, it's a good kasha, it's a very strong kasha. Maybe the answer is because the Mishnah is going to derive from Brachas HaKlolos, Gzeira Shava, to teach us which other mitzvahs have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. The Mishnah is going to continue to say. So it's important to mention what the din was by Brachas HaKlolos, Hagris Maharevel, in order to learn out from the Brachas HaKlolos that Chalitza has to be in the original Hebrew. What else? Brichas Kohanim, the Duchening has to be in the original Hebrew, and if a Kohen can't say in Hebrew, so you're not Yaitzei in translation. That's to say, Dafka in the original Hebrew. Birchas Kain Gadol, that's a fascinating halacha. When you get an aliyah, Taisa said, what about all the other brachas? Birchas HaMitzvahs and Birchas HaNenin and Kiddush and Abdullah. So we learned the Taisa's last week. It can be Yotzei in translation, just like davening. Davening, the Mishnah says, you can be Yotzei in B'chol Lashon in translation. So the same is all the brachas also. So there's one exception to the rule. There's one aliyah, a person gets an aliyah, he does know how to read Hebrew. So they'll give him an art scroll, whatever. He'll say in English, say the bracha in English, he yotze. There's one exception to the rule. A person gets an aliyah, he has to say the brachas in the original Hebrew, he can't say in translation. Once a year, the Kohen Gadol gets an aliyah on Yom Kippur. It's a chelek of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, Pasha Sachrei Mois, the Inyan of the Yom, this week's Seder. So the Gemara learns that from Sukkim, in conjunction with the Hakrovas HaKorbanis. The Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur brings two sets of korbanos. He brings the musafim, that's in Parshas Pinchas, and then he brings special korbanos for kapara, that's in Parshas Achramet. So two different sets of korbanos. So in conjunction with the korbanos that are brought for the purpose of kapara, so he has to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, he has to lay in Achri Mois, and Emor, and then Pinchas. So he... That right? The Mishnah says that he says Baal Peh. So he says a bracha before and he says brachas after his aliyah. He's the only aliyah. He hugs. He hugs the whole Kriya Satora. Only one Aliyah on Yom Kippur. This Dhamma by Mincha, they're going to have another Kriya Satora, regular. But the Kohen Gadol has this special Aliyah. This is a Din Daraisa. All the Kriya Satora all year long, we assume, is only the Rabbanan. But this Kriya Satora, this is a Din Daraisa. And the Gemara has the same thing by Paraduma. When you make a Paraduma, historically there were nine, the Mishnah says there were nine Paradumas in the past, and Lasi Lava, when Mashiach comes, going to be a tenth Paraduma. And each Paraduma lasted for 250 years, and then when they ran out of Efer Parah, so they had to bring another Paraduma, burn another one. So the Gemara says every 150 years or so, when you make a Paraduma, there's a Din Daraisa, because some of the Dinim are shared in common. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and Paraduma has a dinim that are similar. The first sugya in Yuma, so there's a din deraisa there also. In conjunction with Sreifas Paraduma, you have to lay in the kriya of Parshas Chukas. So the Mishnah says the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, when he says the brachas, he's only yotze if he says it in the original Hebrew. It's not psukim in Chumash, but it's a nusach that you can't say kichsava. It's not in Tanakh. But it's kinus chasa. He has to recite it in the nusach that dan sheknes agdoilo, what the chachamim were misaken, and he's not yotze the brachas if he says it in translation. Bichas kain gadol.
What about the tefillas in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Chayyamin wrote this in Russian Kodesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like ani ani mimas. Can you translate this over the sound of this tefillas?
I mean, it's going to be lost in translation. A lot is going to be lost in translation. It's so rich. That's for sure. If you're going to translate the Shemoneh Esrei into English, it'll also lose a lot in translation. But b'di'evad yoytzei, say here in the honey mimas, these are only minhogim. That for sure yoytzei if he say in translation. If he doesn't understand Hebrew, so let him say in translation. Okay, it's better. Parshas Chukas, yeah.
They had to read Parshas Chukas.
Yeah, yeah. That's why in Shulchan Aruch they have a discussion, the Mechaber writes, Yesh Omrin, the Parshas Parah is Daraisa. So we'll get to it on the next one.
Huh? In addition to Zuchar.
Parshas Zuchar, Yesh Omrin, even Parshas Parah. So the Vilna Gaon says, it must be a Torah Sefer. Why should anybody in his right mind say that Parshas Parah is Daraisa? Where is their Amok? And Parshas Zuchar Shtein. Zuchar Shasal HaMalik Lo Sishkach. The Gemara says in Megillah, what does it mean Zohar? It doesn't mean Zohar Belev, you should remember Shteitach Lois Ishkach at the end. Amani Mikhaim Zohar, Zohar Bepeh. Then the Gemara says, and how do you know it has to be Mitoch Aksav? So the Gemara learns out from another Pasuk, that you're only Yotzei Parsha Zohar, if you say Bepeh, and it has to be Mitoch Aksav. So that's the Mokka for Parsha Zohar being their Raisa. But Parsha Sporah, their Raisa. Where is there a Pasuk in Chumash that Parsha Sporah is their Raisa? So the Vilna Gaon tainis against the Mechaber. He thinks that it's a Tos Sefer. So therefore? No, so this is the Kasha the Vilna Gaon asks. What's the Mocker? So some suggest when the Mechaber is quoting from the Rishonim that Parshas Parah is Daraisa, it doesn't mean every year Parshas Parah is Daraisa before Pesach. No, every 150 years when you burn a Paraduma, the Gemara says that the Kohen who does the Sreifas Parah, just like the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur is a Din Daraisa, he has to lay in Kriya Satora in conjunction with the Avodas HaKarbonis, so too when you do Sreifas HaParah every 200 years, you have to lay in Parshas Parah. That's their Daraisa, but not the regular, what we call Parshas Parah. That's not their Daraisa. And others give other suggestions why Parshas Parah should possibly be their Daraisa. Others give suggestions maybe the Parshas Parah every year is their Daraisa. Not only the Parshas Parah when you're burning a Paraduma once every 200 years. Then the Mishnah says Parshas HaMelech. Parshas HaMelech means Hakel. Once every 7 years, on the first day Chol HaMoed Sukkos, following Shnas HaShmitah, this past Sukkos, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, following Shnas HaShmitah, there's a mitzvah deraisa that you should learn Kriya Sator. We usually assume that all Kriya Sator is only mid the Rabbanon. But usually say, called the Tikkun Rabbanon came deraisa Tikkun. So what is the Kriya Sator patterned after? So it's patterned after Hakel. There is a din deraisa that you have to learn Kriya Sator once every 7 years. The Melech learns, a special din. The Melech has to learn.
Rabban says something about Mikruei Kodesh, that one of the is Medaraisa.
Ramban on Chumash has a chiddush that Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos and Yontav is Deraisa. That's a chiddush.
Mikra Kodesh.
Right, because it says in Chumash Mikra Kodesh. What does it mean Mikra Kodesh? So the Ramban teaches Mikra means like Krui Hoeda. The tzibur should gather together for some holy purposes, a holy assemblage. What do you mean a holy assemblage? Dr. Ramban Achumish in Parsha Semor, for the purpose of Tefillah B'tzibur and Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur, a Talmud Torah B'tzibur. The Ramban holds that Tefillah B'chol Yom is only the Rabbanan. Ramam holds that the obligation to daven once a day, every day is the Raisa. The obligation to daven three times a day, that's only the Rabbanan. The specific Nusach HaTefillah, that's the Rabbanan. But the obligation to daven once a day, every day, that's the Raisa. And the Ramban disagrees. The obligation to daven even once a day, every day, is only midrabbanan. But on Shabbos and Yontif, not only davening, tefillah v'tzibur is deraisa. Tefillah v'tzibur is deraisa, and he teaches that that's what it means, mikra kodesh.
You had a kasha. You had a kasha there. It was a chazukah the rabbi, it was the young people.
No, the prima godim says, based on that, that with respect to Adin Daraisa, you can't rely on the Chazoka de Rabba. The Gemara says we assume when a boy reaches the age of 13, he probably has Shtei Cyrus and he's probably Bar Mitzvah, but it's not 100% Vadois. So with respect to Dinam Daraisa, we don't rely on Chazoka de Rabba. With respect to Dinam Darabona, we do.
It's not a kasha.
So the Prima Godim says if you're putting together a minyan on Shabbos and Yontif, it's not sufficient if you have 10 people who are just barely bar mitzvah, they just after the 13th birthday, because tefillah b'tzibur on Shabbos Yontav is their isa, so you shouldn't rely on chazaka de rabba. You have to make sure that they have the shtei saris. So that's a chiddush that he says based on that Ramban. Yeah, there's what the dinzach, maybe the obligation to have tefillah b'tzibur is a chayvus hatzibur. The tzibur should have tefillah b'tzibur. It means every single person should daven every single tefillah. Tefillah b'tzibur? The community sees to it that there's tefillah b'tzibur. Ginuk, who says I have to daven every single? He talks about Shavuos morning. The Prima Godim talks about Shavuos morning because Leil Shavuos, everybody stays up. Everybody stays up, and then after an hour, some people go to sleep. After 2 hours, more people go to sleep. Then when it comes early in the morning to daven shachris, so you just have the younger people, the younger kids who are just barely by mitzvah are making the minyan. And you don't have a minyan of 10 people who are for sure bar mitzvah. You're relying on the chazaka de rabba. So he tainas that that's not right. That since tefillah b'tzibur on Yom Tov is deraisa, so you shouldn't rely on chazaka de rabba. That's a shame. Yeah. But it's still the rabbanan. No, Avraham Avin is not the Rabbanu Shalom. What the Rabbanu Shalom institutes, that's a din deraisa. What Moshe Rabbeinu does, or Avraham Avinu does, that's only the Rabbanu. Unless Moshe Rabbeinu says, Koyamar Hashem, unless he tells you the name of the Rabbanu Shalom. But Moshe Rabbeinu makes a takana, Avraham Avinu makes a takana, that's still the Rabbanu. Sof kol sof, and not the Rabbanu Shalom. What the Rabbanu Shalom says, that's a din deraisa. See here, the Parshas HaMelech is once every 7 years when you lay in Hakel. So that Parshas HaMelech is a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa, the same as the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur when he lands, that's also Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. Same the Parshas Purah when you do Sreifas HaPurah, that's also Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa. So the Mishnah says that just like the Birchas Kohen Gadol has to be Davka on Yom Kippur, that's a Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa, the Brachas have to be in the original Hebrew, so too the Parshas HaMelech has to be in the original. What does it mean, the Parsha Melech? The Kriyas HaParsha? He learns half a Chumash Dvarim. He starts learning Dvarim, Aschanan, selections. It means the Kriyas HaTorah should be from a Sefer Torah that's written in Hebrew as opposed to a Sefer Torah that's written in Greek in translation. Or it means the Brachas also have to be. It doesn't say in the Mishnah. You get the impression that perhaps, the, just like the Birchas Kohen Gadol, the Brachas on the Kriyas HaTorah, there I said, the Brachas of the Melech also have to be in the original Hebrew. Not just the Parshas HaMelech, the brachas have to be in the original Hebrew.
What brachas do we make in Hakol? Some brachas that we make on
the Aliyah? Yeah. Shabbat HaBan at the beginning and at the end, yeah. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur says a few, he says a whole bunch of brachas at the end. So maybe the Melech on Hakol also has more. The Pashta says the Melech is not Miakev. We would be able to have Hakol Bismanazah even though there's no Melech, even though there's no person who's a Melech. the Pashtus is the Melech is not Likuva. But the Shaila is, you only lain Hakel, Mi'ikar Adin, you only lain Hakel, if it's the first day Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShmita. So if Shmita is only the Rabbanon, then the whole Hakel is, it's not Manchoi Shnas HaShmita. So most of the Poskim assume that Shmita B'zman is as only the Rabbanon. That's why we don't have Hakel there, I see.
Rabbi, excuse me, you said the only kuv is the fact that there's no melech, you can take any balkari to do it, or you can just gather out here and go. I didn't understand what you said.
There's a shaila whether the melech is mi'akev. In the Mishnah's later, it's going to describe the melech laying's hakev. So that's a question in the Minchas Chinuch and the latest forum, in the last 100 years, whether melech is mi'akev. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the melech is not mi'akev, but he thought that the shmita is mi'akev. Uh-huh. If shmita is only the Rabbanon, so this year was not Motzoi Shnas HaShmita Deraisa, so that's why there's no Hakol Deraisa. And the last couple Shmitas in Eretz Yisrael, they keep on tumbling that Shmita is Deraisa because they don't like the Het Mechira. The Het Mechira in Eretz Yisrael rests on the assumption that Shmita is only the Rabbanon. So in order to do away with Het Mechira, if you prove that Shmita is Deraisa, so there's no Het Mechira. For sure, even if Shmita is the Rabbanon, it's questionable whether Het Mechira works. But if Shmita is Deraisa, there's nothing to discuss. So some of the people are rewriting history. They're saying, no, the Rav HaRishonim held that Shmita B'zman is as Deraisa. That's not true. That's absolutely not true. It's clear, Klor V'detog, that Rav HaRishonim held that Shmita B'zman is as Derabbanon. There was a minority opinion that Shmita B'zman is as Deraisa, but that was never the accepted opinion. So now they're rewriting history. So according to them, why don't they do Hakal Deraisa? Those who are so convinced that Shmita is Deraisa, so they said, no, we're not going to do Hakal because you need a Melech. The Pashtus, it's all fakir. The Melech is not Mi'akev. The Shmita Deraisa, that's, so we don't have Shmita Deraisa. That's why we don't have any Hakal today. Not because the Melech is Mi'akev.
It's more difficult to make a Melech than to do Shmita.
Why is it more difficult to make a Melech?
I mean, a Melech is a Melech is a Melech, but you're talking about the whole year and put everything. You cannot work it, and you don't have any.
Okay.
Why is Shmita Derabbanan?
The Gemara in Gittin by the Sugya Prusbo, the Gemara the first daf in Moed Katan presents it like this: that there is a machlokes. Rashi adds on. Rashi explains what's missing in the Gemara. You read the beginning of Parshas Behar. So it says every seventh year is Shmita, and after 7 times 7, the 50th year is Yovel. Then it says by Yovel, all whoever is an Eved Ivri goes free. Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. So the Loshon HaPasuk is Ukrasim Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yashvel. That's the pasuk that says, and thou shalt proclaim liberty throughout the land and all its inhabitants. That's the pasuk on the liberty belt. Yeah. So that's the pasuk that comes from Yovel. So the Gemara in the end of Erechin has a comment: Ukrosim drabarts l'chol yashveh, only bizman shekol yashveh ha'aleh. When all the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael, if it's only less than 50% of the Jews are living in Eretz Yisrael, that's for sure not kol yashveh ha'aleh. Even if you have more than 50%, it's also nachalznisht. In the newspapers, they keep on writing: another 2 years, they're going to have more than 50% of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says in the end of Erechin, it's still not called kol yashveh ha'aleh. You have to have the majority of Jews. World Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, and everybody has to know what Shevet they belong to, and Shevet Reuven has to be living together, and Shevet Shimon has to be living together, and Shevet Yisachar has to be living together. No one knows who belongs to what Shevet. We don't know that, so that's going to, we'll have to wait till Mashiach comes. Eliyahu Novi will be Miachas all the people and tell us who belongs to which Shevet. So that's the way the Gemara describes it. So the Gemara says, in order to observe Yovel, you have to have Kol Yashvehu Alehu. The Gemara says, the last few years in the period of the Bais Rishon, Mishigol of Aseres HaShvatim, said the Yovel was no longer observed min HaTorah because they were lacking Kol Yashveh HaAleh. So Rashi points out now, what about Shemitah? It says in the Chumash, every seventh year is Shemitah, and then you have a new paragraph. And every 50th year is Yovel. Does it mean it's only Shemitah Deraisa if it can lead up to Yovel? But if you know in advance that it cannot lead up to Yovel because you're lacking Kol Yashveh HaAleh, so you don't even observe Shemitah, or do you say no? Shemitah is observed in HaTorah, and if there's no Kol Yashveh HaAleh, so there's no Yovel. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim. So the Gemara explains in Gittin, in the middle of Gittin, in Sugya Prusbol, and in the beginning of Moed Katan, that you have certain kulis in Shnas HaShmita based on the premise that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanah. Why is it only the Rabbanah? Because it's not, we know in advance it's not going to lead up to Yovel. So that's how most of the Rishonim say. The Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Kara, has a commentary on the side of the Rambam. So in one place he says, the Rambam writes that the laws of Shemitah apply Bei Mifnei Abayis, Ben Shaloi Bifnei Abayis, whether or not you have a Beis HaMikdash. The Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam is meaning that even after the Churban Beis HaMikdash and all the Jews are sent into Golus and you don't have Kol Yashvei Aleha, you still observe Shemitah. So he claims that the Rambam said that you don't need Kol Yashvei Aleha for Shemitah, you only need it for Yovel. So the later Paskim say that it's not so. They claim that Rabbi Yosef Kar himself backed out. And the later Paskim, Rabbi Yosef Engel, writes in one of his, he has a long kuntris on Shemitah. He says he's prepared to take a Shvur Daraisa, that the Rambam Shita is that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan, and he says that's just a falsification of the Rambam Shita. To insist like Rabbi Yosef Kar that the Rambam meant that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh Daraisa is just not true. He says, Rova Rishonim hold that it's only the Rabbanan. What happened was, Rabbi Yosef Engel was a mechutna of the Kotzke Rebbe. So the Kotzke Rebbe came up with a whole attack against those who relied on the Het Mechira. That's in the late 1800s when they first moved to Eretz Yisrael. So there was a lot of hardship there, observing all the years there was hardship. So it was very difficult. So he had a whole attack against those who didn't observe Shemitah, those who relied on the Het Mechira, and he says, just like there's a din mechal Shabbos befehese din ka'akum, so Shemitah is referred to by the Chumash as Shabbos, Shav Sohar Shabbos Lashem, and these people who work on the farms using a het mechir, the mechal Shabbos befehese and din ka'akum, can't be mitzar from to aminim. Rabbi Yosef Engel wrote an open letter to his mechutin, 100 pages long. It's a separate sefer, Eitzus Yosef, on Shvius. And he writes with, and he takes apart every single line of the Kol Kore of the Kotzke Rebbe. He says, my dear Mechutni writes, it's just not true. There is no such din Mechal Shabbos Befeasi, din Kakum doesn't apply to Shemitah, and Shemitah is not the Raisa B'zmanazet, it's only the Rabbanan. And he rips apart every line that he wrote in his Kol Kore, that every line is a guzma on top of a guzma on top of a guzma. He made it, that's Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, he's prepared to be makel that the farmers are allowed to do Avodas HaKarka without a Het Mechira. He thinks it is mutter because such a shas atchak. He says the whole din of Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan, and you're not mechuyev to observe a din the Rabbanan if it means you're going to go broke and you have to go beg tzedakah. That's what they had to do. Those who observed Shemitah in the late 1800s, they had to go make a Keren HaShviyev to raise money for them from all over the world. They mamish were penniless, and they didn't raise enough money, and some of the children died, and some of the behemoths died. It was terrible at that time. So he has this whole tshuva. But that's a little bit humorous now. That those who insist that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is the Raisa, so they're the ones who are against Hakel. Because for years they had a practice in Eretz Yisrael, they always had a Zeichel HaHakel. Everyone would gather to, well, before Hakamas HaMedina they had it also. The children from their Shorim, the Malamed would walk with the children on Chalamoid Sukkis, they walked to the Kosel Maravi. The Chalamoid Sukkis following Shnas HaShemitah, and they would lain from Dvarim Zeichel HaHakel. So then years later, it became bigger. They kept on making it bigger. In recent years, after Hakamas HaMedina, so they had the president of the Medina would lain the Kriyas HaTorah. If he knew how to lain, he would lain the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Rav Kook's father-in-law, the Aderes, his first father-in-law, his first wife died, and he had to remarry, so he married his wife's cousin. So his first father-in-law was a great goyin, he was the Rav in Panevish, and the Rav in Mir, and then later he was the Rav in Yerushalayim, the assistant rabbi in Yerushalayim. So he was known as the Aderes, Eliyahu David Rabinovich Ta'omen. So he wrote a whole kuntris on this topic of Zeichel HaHakel. Is it permissible to have such a thing like they have in Eretz Yisrael? Every Chalamoid Sukkis, after Shnas HaShemitah, they have put advertisements in the newspaper, and they have people all dressed up in white, and they blow chatzaitzis, and it's very impressive. I was never there, but I heard about it. Yeah. Different people said it's very extremely impressive. Then they lay in the Kriyas HaTorah. It's very fascinating. So the Chazon Ish didn't like it, because this was run by secular Jews. So the Aderes published the whole tshuva, where he explains why it is permissible. He says, when I came to Eretz Yisrael, that was the practice. He died just a few years after he came. He was Rabbi Shmuel Salant was an old man. Right. Rabbi Shmuel Salant was an old man, and he wanted a younger person to take over after he has to retire. So they had a big discussion who should be appointed. So they invited the Aderis to come. He was one of the prominent Rabbonim in Europe. They invited him to come. So he came there something like 1901 or something, and he was only there a few years. And he never. And then Rabbi Shmuel Salant went on for another 10 years after the assistant rabbi passed away. He kept on going. So I think on his matzeva it says Shenisman Elias Rabbi Yerushalayim. He was never zeicher to be the rabbi. So one he wrote a lot. The Aderis wrote a lot. They're still publishing from his manuscripts. So he wrote, this is one of the essays of his that was printed many years ago about zeicher lahakel. That is permissible because they always did it when he came to Eretz. That was the practice. The melamdim would take the children from Me'er Shoram. They would walk to the Kaisel and they would learn from Dvarim. And we never saw that any kilkel came out. The Gemara says that's the rule. Do you allow imitation smicha? Do you allow women to do imitation smicha on a korban? Women are not mechuyev to do smicha. So the memela, they're not allowed to do the real smicha, to lean b'chol koich on the behemoth, and isar avoyde b'kotchim, asavda b'v'chor sherech, while the sog is b'chor tzenech. So it's only permissible to do the smicha b'chol koichai if you're obligated to do the smicha. So men are mechuyev, so there's no isar of avoyde b'kotchim. Women are not mechuyev, because the psukim in the beginning of Vayikra say ish lemuta isha, that women can bring kabbalas, but they're not mechuyev to do smicha, so they're not allowed to do smicha b'chol koichem. So the women felt cheated, they felt excluded. Why don't they have the schus to do smicha? So there was a machlekes hatanaim, is man abayis, would we permit them to do imitation smicha? There's no kima mitzvah in the imitation smicha. They just put their hands floating on top of the korban, they're not leaning b'chol koichem, but it's kedei lasis nachas ruach lenoshim. They just want to make them feel good. So the Tanaim had a machlekes, are you allowed to do this? So what's the machlekes? The Tosis explained, the machlekes is, they have to be choshish for a kilkul. Can anything terrible, can any tragedy come out from this? So one Tana holds, you have to be choshish, maybe they'll lean b'chol koicham, in which case they'll be in violation of avoyde b'kotchim. And the accepted opinion is not so. That we're not concerned about that. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara talks in Sukkah, what if you don't have a kosher esrig? Can you take a lemon? As an imitation mitzvah of dalaminim, that the children should see that there's such a thing for educational purposes. Kadesh lo tishtakach teres dalaminim. What if you don't have a kosher shofar? Should you use a pasul shofar and blow shofar without a bracha? Kadesh lo tishtakach mitzvah tkiyah shofar. So the klal that the Gemara has and the Rishonim have is based on that Gemara by the smicha lenoshim.
Not true.
If there's a concern that a kilkel may come out, so then you don't allow it. If there's no concern a kilkel may come out, so it's okay. So here the Aderis writes, what kilkel can possibly come out? It's been practiced for years already that the Malamdin brought the children to the Kaisel Maravi and Chalamay Tzukas, and they always lain from Dvarim, and we never heard that any kilkel come out, so fartik. So what's the problem? So he writes that it's muta. So the Chazanish, after the Chazanish passed away, so they have a collection of letters of the Chazanish, Kovis Igros Chazanish. So in addition to all the letters, they have a comment that the Chazanish wrote in his handwriting, that he had this pamphlet that was issued by the Aderis about Zeicher LaHakel. That's what it's called, Zeicher LaHakel. So he wrote on the cover in his handwriting, Ein Lismach HaMashikosa B'Kuntros Azeh. He's not allowed to rely. So all the Frum and Eretz Yisrael, they all boycott the Zeicher LaHakel. Every Chalamoid Sukkis following Shnas HaShemitah, when the government or the Mizrahi or the Rabbanut, whoever puts it together, they have by the Kosel Marav, they have in a few places, but they have mainly by the Kosel Marav, very moving. So the Bnei Torah always boycotted because the Chazanish said, you're not allowed to rely on that, you're not allowed to do it. So what's wrong? What's going to happen already? What are you not allowed to do? No one knows exactly what's wrong. So the Shaila is, but if you're convinced that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is really deraisa, that's why you don't allow a Hetta Mechira, because Shemitah is deraisa. So you have to have Hakel deraisa, the other rabbi. So you should organize the Hakel. So the other rabbi do the Hakel. So they say, no, the Melech is Me'akev. You don't have a Melech. The Pashtus is V'nahapachu. The Melech is not Me'akev. The Shemitah is Me'akev. That's the reason why we don't have Hakel today, because there's no Shemitah deraisa. Not that Shemitah B'zman HaZeh is deraisa. So the Mishnah says that the Parshas HaMelech, the Pashtus, it means the brachas and the Parshas HaMelech also. Just like the Kriya of the Kain Gadol on Yom Kippur, that's a Kriya Sator Deraisa. So the Mishnah says the brachas cannot be recited in translation. Unlike all year long, if a person gets an aliyah, if he doesn't know how to pronounce Hebrew, he can say the brachas in translation. But the Kengodel on Yom Kippur, when he learns his Kriyas HaTor Deraisa, or the Melech by Hakel, has to say the brachas in the original Hebrew. And then it has Parsha Segla Arufa. Parsha Segla Arufa is a Parsha in the Chumash. If you find a person murdered in Eretz Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael, Lo Noda Mihi Kohu, you don't know who killed him. You have to measure to the cities Asher Svivas HaCholol, and then whichever city is closest, we assume that the murderer probably came from that city. So the people in that city have to put up make a collection, and they have to take money and buy an Egla Rufa, and thereby get a kapora. So when they bring the Egla Rufa, so the Kohanim have to say Kapali, the Bezin has to say, then the Shabbos Adam is
in the row. Yerushalayim, I believe.
Yerushalayim does not bring. Yerushalayim does not bring an Egla Rufa.
No.
But the Bezna Gadol has to send representatives to do the Medida, to measure.
Yeah.
And then after they finish the Medida, so they go back home. So Yedena Lo Shavcha, that's the local Bezna has to say, Yedena Lo Shavcha Sadama Zevenena Lo Ro, and then the Kohanim from the city have to say, Kapalam Chesol Shepadisa Hashem. So that has to be recited in the original Hebrew. Those are Psukim. The more is going to learn out from Sukkim has to be recited in the original Hebrew. What's Moshoch Muhammad Bishosh and Medaber al Ha'om? This is a special din. The Moshoch Muhammad has an in between status. He doesn't have the full din of a Kohen Gadol, but he's not in Gansan like a Kohen Hedyot. There are about the 8 or 9 dinim where the Kohen Gadol is different from a Kohen Hedyot, so half of them apply to the Moshoch Muhammad, and half of them do not apply. So you have to be Memane Koy Moshoch Mechama, so that whenever there's a Mechama, so he should recite the Parsha in the Chumash.
Who's Memane? The Kohen Gadol or the Sanhedrin?
The Sanhedrin probably is Memane.
But he remains a Kohen Gadol, a semi-Kohen Gadol.
Yeah. Once you appoint him, he has Mashiach.
After the Mechama.
Yeah, even after the war is over. Once he's appointed as a Moshoch Mechama, once he has Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, so he's going to be Kaddish Le'ol Avod with that. So he has half of the dinim like a Kohen Gadol, half of the dinim like a Kohen Hedya. The Gemara in the end of Yuma discusses which dinim. Next to the last parak in Yuma, the Gemara discusses which halachas does he have like a Kohen Gadol, which halachas like a Kohen Hedya. So he has to recite a pep talk to the soldiers before they go to fight like the last war that they had when they went into Gaza. So the Rabbonim came there. A lot of Rabbonim came on Shabbos. That was a whole hullabaloo. They traveled on Shabbos in order to come there. And then they gave chizuk to the soldiers. So the Rabbanut, after they found out what happened, were officially, they protested. They said they were Michal Shabbos, they weren't allowed to go. But the people who were there said that they gave such big chizuk. It was a sofik pikuach nefesh. It could be that the chizuk that the Rabbanim gave is what gave them the strength to fight the harder. Everybody was asking for brachas. So the original din is the Moshoch Muhammad has to give a pep talk and he has to recite word for word what it says in the Chumash. Then you can say it in translation also, that everyone should understand. But there's a mitzvah deraisa that Moshoch Muhammad B'shosh and Medabra Ha'am has to recite the psukim as they appear in the Chumash. Parsha Zohar. So good kasha. That's what the Rishonim are going to talk about on the next daf. What's the status of Parsha Zohar? We don't know what the din is. Yeah. So can it be Yotze Parsha Zohar if the Sefer Torah is written in translation? You have to learn mitoch haksav. So if the Sefer Torah is written in Hebrew Sefer Shteitzach, you have to read in the original Hebrew. The brachas, yeah. But what if the Sefer Torah is written in translation? Can you be Yotze Parsha Zohar if it's written in translation? So that's going to be on the next daf. The Rishonim are going to discuss. But now the Mishnah is going to go back to discuss how do we know all these dinim. So the Mishnah says, Mikra Bikurim Ketzad. How do you know that Mikra Bikurim has to be recited dafka in the original Hebrew? Because the Pasuk says, V'yanisu v'amarta lefnei Hashem Elokecha Arami Avidovi. So that phrase, V'yanisu v'amarta, we learn our Gzeres Shavah from the Brochas HaKlolos of HaGrizim and HaRevel. You ask the Kasha. I don't know. the Gemara is going to spell everything out, but why doesn't the Mishnah go in order is a very good question. I don't know. The Mishnah is going to attack everything out of order. I don't know. That's a good question. It doesn't go in order now. I don't know. So the question was asked before, what are you mentioning about brachas and klal zahagriz maharev? That was once in the history of the world. That's not nagia aloha lemaisa, maida have a habit. So I just said, perhaps because the Mishnah is going to derive from brachas and klal is to mikra bikurim, that just like it says, alahalan hoim, eviyono halvim yomru, by brachas and klal and hagriz maharev, has to be in the original Hebrew, malahalam beloshna kodesh, afkan beloshna kodesh. Just like the brachas that klal is the hagriz maharevo, you only fulfill it if he said in the original Hebrew. So to over here, the mikra bikurim has to be in the original limit. That's a gzera shava.
The assumption is that when Yoshua did it, he did it with the original Hebrew.
Oh, so how do you know that gufa? So that the Gemara is going to discuss that, I think. I think the Gemara is going to discuss. How do you know that the brachas that klal had to be in the original Hebrew? But that's the assumption in the Mishnah. What were the brachas of klalas? The brachas of klalas says in the Chumash there were two teicheches. In the end of Vayikra, there's a teicheche in Parshas Bechukosai. Then towards the end of Chumash Devarim, there's a teicheche in Parshas Kisava. So the last pasuk, and then the brachas of klalas, that's later. So the pasuk, the last pasuk in the teicheche in Bechukosai says, Eile divra brisa shakoros Hashem in Israel behar Sinai. This was the brachas of klalas, this was recited at Har Sinai. When the Rabbanu Shlomo made the bris, made the contract with Bnei Yisrael, we have to keep the mitzvahs, and he promises schar v'yoinish, if we keep the mitzvahs, he's going to give schar, if we violate, he's going to give an oinish. So the brachas of klalas were proclaimed on the occasion of Maimon HaSinai. Then, before Moshe Rabbeinu died, so he made that Chris's bris in Arvis Moyov. So that says, in the concluding pasuk in the Teichiche, in Parshas Kisava, it's very long. The concluding pasuk says, "Eile," right before Shvi, "Eile divrei habris asher tziva Hashem es Moshe lichros es bnei Yisrael be'eretz Moav milvad habris asher karasi tam bichorev." In addition to the original Kriyas Bris, the original Kriyas Bris was at Har Sinai, and that's the brachas of klalas in Bechukosai. And this text of these brachas haklalas, this contract with the schar v'yoinish, this was that the bris had arvis moyav. So what did they need another bris for? They already entered into a bris. Moshe Rabbeinu explains in the beginning of Nitzavim. Atem Nitzavim hayom kulchem lo'avir chabibris Hashem alakecho. What do you need another bris for? So he says why. Lo yetchem levatchem anochi kareses habris hazos, v'sola hazos. This bris is not like the bris at Har Sinai. The original bris at Har Sinai was only made with those people who are present. The Gemara says in Shabbos, all the neshamas who are going to be born, all the Jewish neshamas were there. But if you make a neshama swear, that's not a Kriyas Bris. The Bris was only with the people who are actually alive at the time. But this second Bris at the Arvis Moav, right before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, so this is different. Lo yitchem levatchem anochi kareis, ki es asher yeshtan po imanu oimer hayom, ve es asher enenu po imanu oimer hayom. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara Shavuos, what do you mean, Asher Enenipo? Afim Doras Asidim Lehios. We today are obligated to keep the Taryag Mitzvahs, not because of the Bris at Har Sinai. Bris at Har Sinai was only with the people who are present, Bishas Maisa. We today are obligated to observe the Taryag Mitzvahs because of the Bris at Arvis Moyav. Manishtana, how come the first Bris was not binding on the Doras Aboim and the second Bris was? So the Gemara seems to say, that's how Rav Soloveitchik explained, Gemara seems to say, That Har Sinai, everybody was a yochid. There was no real klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar loshen yochid ki shechad b'lev echad." That was the beginning of the tziruf of klal Yisrael. But the complete tziruf of klal Yisrael was only when they crossed over into Eretz Yisrael. You can't be called a nation if you don't have a national homeland. So the real mitzaref of klal Yisrael was when they crossed over the Yarden. So the Rebbeinu Shlom said, as they were about to go into Eretz Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shlom said, "I want to make another bris with Klal Yisrael as a nation. The nation includes all the Jewish people from the days of Avraham Avinu till Bias HaMashiach. Everybody's included. The original Bris at Har Sinai, they didn't have Lemaisa, they didn't have Eretz Yisrael yet. Eretz Yisrael was given to Avraham Avinu, but they weren't living there in Eretz Yisrael. They just left Mitzrayim and they were staying in Har Sinai. They weren't there in Eretz Yisrael. So the original Bris was only with those people who were present. The Neshamas were there, so the Maimon HaSinai had an effect on the Neshamas. Lamantia Yirasa al Panechem Levilti Sechotol Bnei Yisrael Arachmanim Vaishanim Gam Nechasarim. This is the Hashpo of the Gilu Shechin and Har Sinai. This is Hashpo was Chal on the Neshamas, but the Bris was not binding on the Neshamas on the Doris Abayim. But because the second Bris was as they were about to enter Eretz Yisrael, so that Bris was Chal on the whole nation, and even the Doris Abayim are also included in the nation. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik explained. There was a problem over here. The second Krisis Bris with the nation should really have been made in Eretz Yisrael, after they entered Eretz Yisrael and they became a Tzirah of a Tzibur. But the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Bris. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael. So how do you arrange this? So the Rebbeinu Shlom said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you make the Bris at Arvis Moyav, and your Talmud Yeshua Ben Nun will complete the Bris when they cross over the Yarden. The Brochus of Klalus and Hagriz Maharevo was the Gemar of that Bris that was made in Arvis Moyav. So that's why the Pasuk says at the here in the beginning of Parshas Nitzavim, so the Gemara says, "Hanigloys." When we see that people are doing averus and they're not fulfilling mitzvahs, "Hanistaros." If a person is not keeping Torah mitzvahs privately, what can we do? That's Lashem Alakeinu. Let the Rabbanu Shel Olam take care of it. We can't be achray. "Hanigloys." But if I see another Jew is not keeping Torah mitzvahs, it's our responsibility. La'asos means to be koyf ala mitzvahs. La'asos. Eim asin ala gitin. God la'ma'asa yosem and oisim. The one who forces someone else to give tzedak, he gets more schar than the one who gives tzedak. The ma'asa is the one who's koyf for someone else. So the pasuk says, ha'niglois, if I see someone is not keeping Torah mitzvahs, it's our responsibility, la'asos, to be ma'asa, to be koyf ala mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, how come there are Nikudas, how come there are 11 Nikudas over here? Yud Aleph Nikudas, and Lonol Vanein on the Ayin Avad. The answer is, Rashi quotes from the Gemara, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebezed didn't begin until after Mishav Yisrael Sayardain, and they accepted the Brochus of Klolos Lahagriz Maharevim. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. The Mefarshim on the Gemara say it came out, but he said it more explicitly. So that's the Pshat, that the Brisad Hagriz Maharevim, the Brochus of Klolos, the 11 brachas haklolos, that was the gemara of the second bris that Moshe Rabbeinu made in Arvis Moyav. He made the haskolos habris. The Baruch Shem wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to be the middleman over here. He should supervise this krisis bris. He was adon anavim, but he wasn't permitted to cross over the Yarden. So Baruch Shem said, "You do the haskolah as they're about to enter Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud Yoshua ben Nun will do the gemara." So when that bris was completed, that's when you had the tziruf of Klal Yisrael. That's when the din of Klal Yisrael Arayim Zabazeh set in, that all of Klal Yisrael is treated like one goof, as if it's one entity. Goy, Mikam Chisol, Goyach words. The Radak writes in his dictionary, the Radak has a biblical dictionary, the Michlol. So he writes that the word Goy comes from the word Giviyah, a body. That the whole Klal Yisrael is treated like as if it's one body, as if it's one being, one organism, with many different organs. The Umas Olam, they don't have any concept of Goy. The Tanakh refers to the Goyim as Goyim, Goy Hu Arotzes, but that's a colloquial expression. Strictly speaking, they're Mishpachos Adama, they're not really Goyim. The Pasuk says, we're the only Goyim. Mikham Chisol Goy Achad Baret. That's why many Poskim are opposed to the Nusach that you say Shalom Sani Goy, because the Brochas are supposed to be recited in Biblical Hebrew. In Biblical Hebrew, we're the only one who's a goy. What do you mean, shalos ani goy? So many say, should say shalos ani nochri. Yeah, shouldn't say shalos ani goy. Not because it's a derogatory lashon shalos ani goy, because it's not Biblical Hebrew. We are the goy. We're the only goy. The others are not goy. Bnei Yisrael are the yam. We're the yam. The others are mishpachas. Mishpachas Amalek, Mishpachas Knaine, Mishpachas Girgoshi, and we're the goy, we're the yam, we're the only one where there's a tziruf of everybody together.
Where
does
Sechvi appear in the Torah?
Sechvi? It appears in Tanakh.
Yeah,
I think it's in Eov. Mi nosan al Sechvi vino. I think the whole phrase is in Eov, yeah. The whole Avodram, the whole Sefer Avodram was composed to show the source in the Chumash on Tanakh, the source in Tanakh. Every phrase in the brachas and the tefillah that's based on the premise that all the brachas are supposed to be composed in Biblical Hebrew. Not everyone agrees to the premise, but that's the whole premise of the whole Sefer Avodram, that all the brachas and all the tefillahs have to be in the Biblical Hebrew. The Netziv disagrees with the whole premise. He thinks the whole premise is not true, but that's what's usually a thing. So here, the Psukim say Chumash, when they crossed over the Yarden, they had to complete that bris that was that Moshe Rabbeinu began in Arvis Moav, they had to complete it then. And they had to write Kol HaTorah Kula B'Shivim Lashon. That's the last line on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. It says, V'kosvo Lov, Ubanos HaMizbech V'sadu B'Sid, they made a Mizbeach, V'kosvo Lov is Kol Divri HaTorah B'Shivim Lashon Shenema Ba'er Heitev. Why do they have to write it B'Shivim Lashon? The Jews understood Hebrew. Maimon Hasina was in Hebrew. That's what we assume. The top line in the Tosfos on the next daf writes that Maimon Hasinai, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed Aseres Adiris, we assume that he didn't proclaim it in Egyptian. He didn't proclaim it in another language. He proclaimed Aseres Adiris in Lashon HaKodesh.
The Shpeta got changed by Ezra.
The Ksav was changed, yeah. The original Ksav, we assume, historically, we assume the original Ksav was Ksav Livayno, Ksav Ivri. And then Ezra changed it to what we call Ksav Ashuris. That's a shaila. Maybe the Luchas were always in Ksav Ashuris. That's how the Ritva writes. Because the Gemara says...
Maybe what?
Maybe the Luchas.
Oh.
Maybe the Luchas, because the Gemara says, Mem is Samasha Beluchas, Benesa Yomna. Because it was carved through and through. So the Mem, Sofis, and the Samach is around and around. So the piece of stone should fall out. What's going to hold it?
That's valid for the Ksav Ashuris.
So the Gemara says that's only valid for the Ksav Ashuris. Yeah. So the Gemara says it was an S. So it would appear from the Gemara that the Luchas were Ksav Ashuris. But we accept this opinion in the Gemara in the second parak in Sanhedrin that the Ksav of the Sefer Torah were Ksav Livayno. Originally it wasn't Ksav Ashuris. Ezra changed it. So that's what the Ritva writes in Megillah, but the Ksav on the Luchas was always, everybody agrees, never was a Machlekes. The Ksav and the Luchas was always Ksav Ashuris. Oh, this taina against the Ritva, that it's against the Yerushalmi. The Radvaz has a tshuva. He says, Yerushalmi says, Beferish not so. Shalmi says that this statement, them is Samash Beluchas, Benesa Yomdim, follows the other opinion who claims that historically everything was always written in Ksav Ashuris. And it's not called Ashuris because they brought it back from Eretz Ashur. It's Meusheris. It's a Ksav that's Meusher. It's a beautiful Ksav, but historically it was always there. So the Yerushalmi says, Beferish, that this Mem is Hamash HaBeluchas, Benesso Yomdim, only follows that opinion that all along it was Ksav Ashurit. But if you adopt the other position historically, that's what we assume, that the original Sefer Torah till the days of Ezra were written in Ksav Livayno, and Ezra was the one who changed it to the script that we call Ksav Ashuris, then you won't say Mem is Hamash HaBeluchas, then there'll be other letters where it's complete. The Mem is Samach Anat, in Ksav Livayno, a bunch of lines. It's not the circle. There are some that are. Ayin, I think, is a complete circle, but not Mem is Samach. So that's a Shaila, what Ksav it was. So what was the idea over here? Why did they have to write Peshivim Loshen on the Banos HaMizbech HaSadu B'Sid? They all knew Hebrew. The Maimon HaSinai was in Hebrew. So what was the idea of writing the Kol HaTorah on the Mizbeach B'Shivim Loshon? So the Gemara is going to say later in the Perek, this was for the purpose that all the Yom HaSalem should come and see what we stand for. We're going to establish a Medina here. The Jews are moving into Eretz Yisrael and they plan to conquer the land. It's going to be Shevish HaKavsha. They're going to conquer the land in 7 years. Then we're going to establish a Jewish government here. And we plan to stay here indefinitely. There was a Churban Bayis Rishon because of, but if not for the sins, we plan to stay there indefinitely. So from day number one, before they're about to establish the Medina Yisrael, so they wrote down Kol HaTorah Kula B'Shivim Loshon. Everyone should know what we stand for. We stand for Taryag Mitzvah HaTorah. We stand for the Jewish religion, not Stam, a secular country. It's supposed to be Nikva as a religious country. And they wrote a B'Shivim Loshon, everyone should understand. So Shaila, were they interested in advertising to the Umma Salem, whoever wants to be Megayer? They were looking for Gerim, or they had enough Erev Rav?
Like,
what do you mean, Targum HaShivim? Yeah. The Gemara says it was a tragedy that it was translated. Yeah, they wrote the B'Shivim Loshon. Yeah, this was our Piroch HaKodesh. Targum HaShivim, the Gemara says also. It turned out that all the 70 were in 70 different rooms.
They corrected it.
And they changed certain. The Gemara says they were upset because they had to change that a fudge. On certain words, they couldn't translate literally. Here they translated everything properly. There was no chashash. There they were afraid that the emes amalchus, that they had to fudge a little bit. They didn't write sheker, but they didn't 100% write emes.
If the Torah told the Rishon to write it, they wrote
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in Shir Moshe. Yeah. This was Yeshua. This was in the days of Yeshua. This was Oiva Lasiyasim before they established the Medina, before they conquered the land. At the beginning, they didn't even start anything yet. So they let everybody know, we're going to conquer the land, we're going to make a Yiddish Medina that's going to be based on Torah mitzvahs. That's what it's supposed to be. So that's what the Mishnah says. We learn out Mikra Bikurim has to be Beloshna Kodesh from Brachas Eklos Hagriz Maharevo. How do you know Brachas Eklos had to be in Hebrew? That the Gemara is going to explain. But the Mishnah assumes that that had to be in the original Hebrew, so it's Xereshova that teaches you that Mikra Bikurim, Arami Ovidoli, also has to be Beloshna Kodesh. Then the Mishnah says, and how do you know that the Kriya Sapsukim by the Chalitza has to be in the original Hebrew? Chalitza Ketzar, on the last narrow line in the Mishnah, it says V'yansa V'yamro. She says Me'en Yivam El Hakim Shayim Li Yisrael Yava Yabmi and so on. Olal Anoyim V'yana Halavim V'yamro. Same expression V'yansa V'yamro. So it's Exereshav Malahalam B'Lashon HaKadosh. Just like by the Levim, the Brachas HaKlodes had to be in the original Hebrew. Afkan B'Lashon HaKadosh. Reb Yehuda agrees with the din, but he says you don't have to make Exereshav. I have an easier way. Reb Yehuda Omer. The answer of the Yomra Kocha Yasel Ish, Asheli Yivnes Besach. So he says he can read it like the answer of the Yomra Kocha. The Pashib Shad, the answer of the Yomra Kolon. Quotation mark Kocha Yasel Ish. So Rabbi Yehuda darshins it as if it were written, the answer of the Yomra Kocha is also Zagna Zai. Kocha means Likuva. You have to do it like this in the original. Asher Taimer.
That's the Hebrew of the Ish.
Yeah.
I don't know the Ish.
Stama Hekish. That's only the last Dibur, the last, but the first Dibur, there's no Pasi. So he says it's all part of all the Kriyas have to be in the original Hebrew. Then the Gemara is going to go on, the Mishnah is going to go into a detailed description of exactly how they did the Brachas HaKlolis at Hagrizim and Harevim. Okay.
You once connected something of the Bikurim, the Pasi Bikurim with Agudah. I don't remember what it was.
I mean, why do we choose to recite the Rami Avodah? That's a good question.
Well, you raised the question. You had a good talent.
Why? That's Rav Soloveitchik. He used to ask all the time, why don't we read Shmos Ve'erabai B'Shalach? Why do you read Mikra Bikurim for?
Yeah, yeah.
This is more. This, so he gave different suggestions. Yeah. Yeah. Why do we choose to recite the Rami Avodah before CPTS Mitzrayim?
Yeah.
This week we learn Achrei Mois Kedoshim. So the Torah has the Parshas Arayis, and Achrei Mois it has the prohibitions that you're not allowed to, has a whole list of relatives that you're not allowed to marry, and then the Parshas Kedoshim, it gives the Onesh. It says that all of them have Kareis, Kol Shiasim, Kol HaTevusel, V'nichrus, so everybody has Kareis, so you don't need Parshas Kedoshim to tell you that there's Kareis, but those who have Skila, Srefa, Herik, Chenik, whatever, some Parshas Kedoshim, those who have a special Misa, I repeat it. If there's no special Misa, just plain old Koris, there's no need to repeat it in Parashas Kedoshim. That's what the Gemara asks, why is Achosa mentioned again in Parashas Kedoshim? Nothing changed. Achosa, Abol Achosa, is only Koris. And it says very Kol HaShasim and Kol HaTayelus HaEla V'nichrusim. So the Torah has Parashas Achrei Mois Kedoshim, has the prohibitions of Gilui Arayis. So then the Torah warns us, we should be careful not to violate these prohibitions of Gilui Arayis. Al titamu b'chaleila, ki b'chaleila nitmu ha'goyim asher ani mishalech mifneichem. The umas ha'olam, the nations, the Goyish nations who lived in Eretz Yisrael, before the Jews came there, they were involved in all of these arayas. Va'titmu ha'oretz, va'efkod avon ala, va'toki ha'oretz es yoshver. Eretz Yisrael vomits out the people who violate these dinim. And you should be careful, shmartem atem eschul kasay, v'lo sasim kol ha'tev v'sa'ela, because we have to be careful. So the Ramban has his famous comment on this pasuk. That's the Ramban that everybody always quotes on Yom HaAtzmaut. Ramban asks, what do you mean? We have two different categories of mitzvahs. You have chovis aguf, then you have agricultural mitzvahs, chovis karka, mitzvahs hatluyas boretz. These are not agricultural mitzvahs. Arayis is not all over the world. So what does it say? Because they violated I can understand. It says in the Teuchach, we have to observe Shemitah, and if we're not going to observe Shemitah, the Rabbanu Shalom is going to throw us out of Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael will rest. The 7 years of Golas Babel were to make up for all the Shemitahs and Yovel that the Jews violated during the Bais Rishon period. So I can understand there's a Eretz Yisrael will spit out the Jewish people if they violate the mitzvahs of Atlis Baretz. But if you violate the mitzvahs that apply all over the world, so why should Eretz Yisrael, the world should vomit us out? What's that episode? Eretz Yisrael vomits us out. The Ramban says, you see from these psukim, that the Ikem Mokom for Shmiras Kala mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. The main place, and even Tzitzis and Tfilin, and Shabbos and Kashavis and Taras HaMishpacha, the Ikem place for fulfilling all the mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael. Absolvechik was upset. He thought that the religious Zionists in recent years overemphasized this Ramban. He thought that it's not right. He says you have to tone down the Ramban. The Jews of Limachutz Lords are also fulfilling mitzvahs. And it's also important. We shouldn't be so obsessed with this Ramban. The Mishnah says in Megillah that the practice used to be Bizman Hatanoim, that whoever got maftir would have to lay in some haftorah. The bala maftir would pick whatever he wants. He has to pick something from the Nevi'im that has a connection with the Sedra. We have already fixed haftorah, so we don't. The Gabbai gives somebody maftir, he doesn't decide what haftorah he's going to lay. You have printed haftorahs, meaning Sfarad, meaning Ashkenaz, right? But Bizman HaTanaim, it wasn't yet set. So you have to pick something that has a shaykhis in Yonah Diyoyma. It's either a shaykhis with the Kriya or a shaykhis with the, if it's Rosh Chodesh, in Yonah Diyoyma. So on Achrimois Kedoshim, so the Mishnah has a Machlokes HaTanaim. These two haftarahs that are printed in Achumashim, one of them talks about the fact that the Rabbi Shalom tells the Navi Yecheskel, he should tell all the people they're going to be punished for all the averas that they do, we're going to send them into Golos. Yecheskel Navi was a Navi right before the Churban Habayis, in the middle of, during the, and after the Churban Habayis. So he gives Techocho to Bnei Yisrael, Hoidaita is called to Abu Seho. Go tell the people who live in Yerushalayim that they're going to be punished for all of their sins. So there's a machlekes hatanaim. Is it permissible for the Balmafter to choose this after? So we pass and it's okay because it has a shaykhis with the Kriyas Hatorah. The Kriyas Hatorah says that we should be careful not to violate Toevas, and if you violate Toevas, we'll be spit out. Eretz Yisrael v'vamen us out. So the Chachamim say it's permissible. And Reb Lezer the Tana says, you're not allowed to choose this. You're not allowed to say that after. So Mikra then we paskin, not like Rab Lezer, we paskin, you may say, that's why it's printed in the Chumash. But the Minig was in Europe, that's what Rab Soloveitchik said, the Minig was in Lithuania, that this is a Ksiv Elokri, that this after is printed, you never say it. Either it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or it's Mocha Chodesh, or it's Mechubarim, Achrei Mos Kedoshim, and usually Achrei Mos Kedoshim, they're Tumin Hogim, whether you say the Avodram has Tumin Hogim, whether you say the Haftarah from the first parsha, Haftarah from the second parsha, so they're different in Hogim, which is the Tevis Yerushalayim. Is that the Haftarah? You look in all the Chumashim, it says some say that's the Haftarah for Achrei Mos, some say that's the Haftarah for Kedoshim, so whichever it is, we never say it. And even Rab Soloveitchik claimed, and even if you have Achrei Mos Kedoshim on not Bechubarim, and it's not Rosh Chodesh, and it's not Shabbos, and it's not Mocha Chodesh, so he said the minig where he came from a little would be that they would lay in Halok and Bnei Kushim 2 weeks in a row. They just wouldn't say this after. Even though we don't paskin like Rab Lezer, because the Gemara tells the story, paskin like the Chachamim, but l'chatchila you avoid it. So he said, oh, but the Gemara, they're in Megillah, at the end of the third parak, I think, in Megillah, the Gemara tells the story that one balabaz got maftir in Rab Lezer shul, and Rab Lezer was of the all the balabatim knew that the Rebbe held that you're not allowed to say this after. He got up and he started laying this after. And the haftarah tells the Novi Yecheskel he should give Terchocha to the people who live in Yerushalayim. Hodaris Yerushalayim is to Avoseho. Tell the people in Yerushalayim all the averas that they're doing. Go scream at them. So this balabos laying the haftar, and Rab Lezer was upset. His opinion is you're not allowed to say it. So Rab Lezer screamed at the balabos afterwards. Instead of looking at other people's chesreinus, telling the Navi Yechezkel was commanded to give a nevuah, so I had to give a nevuah. You weren't commanded to say that haftorah. Why did you have to pick that haftorah instead of investigating the Tevis Yerushalayim? Why don't you investigate into your own lineage? Bot Kvacharov, Motza Boshem, it's Psul. They checked into it afterwards. They found out he was a mamza. This guy got the aliyah, he was a mamza. His mother, B'dok B'tevis Imecha, his mother had violated Gili Arayis, and he was a mamza. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say before Yom HaTzmaut. Years ago, it was more in style to attack the Fruma, used to attack the Chassidim, always used to attack Medina Yisrael. Now they're already soft on the Medina. They all became, most of them became Zionists. There are hardly any.
They're in the budget.
Yeah, so hardly any hardcore Nituri Kartiniks are so consistent, they're so AKV that they won't take any money and so on. So you don't have people screaming so much. But at that time, years ago, they used to have people screaming. So he said, you see from the Gemara that the ones who are screaming about the Avlis of the Medina, B'dok B'tevis Imecha, maybe there's something wrong with their lineage. Our minigas, we don't say.
Kena Mishnah and a Saftaira.
What is the Paleo Hebrew script called? I didn't catch what you said.
The Gemara calls it Ksav Livo Noah, Libo Noah, or Ksav Ivris. And we use Ksav Ashuris.